mighty. You are above all things, for you created all things. God, we thank you that you would give us the very breath that we breathe, that we might have existence. And so we stand today here, God, before you, your servants, your children, those of us that you have adopted into your family, that we might live with you forever. Great are you, God. God, Heavenly Father, as we again dive into your word, may we understand the seasons and the times. May we know what's happening. May we not be surprised. May we not be defeated. May we not be discouraged or full of fear. But we would boldly stand before your throne, God, and do your bidding among this generation. So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You might be seated. If you're new with us, we've been in a series in the book of Thessalonians called Hope for Today. If you read through the book of 1 Thessalonians, you'll see that hope that is there, ever present in the life of the apostle as he's writing these words. Today, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 8, with the key idea that we are to be sober-minded. Today, I want to show that we need to see clearly, think calmly, and act deliberately in this generation. See clearly, think calmly, and act deliberately as we live our Christian lives. Let's just dig into the text, and we see that the sober-minded person sees clearly. In chapter 5 and verse 5, it says this, "For you all are children of light, children of the day. You are not of the night or of the darkness." He has just said you don't need any more instruction in regard to the seasons and the times. We understand what's coming next, the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. We are not going to be like those who are surprised, because we can see the times and know the times and see the birth pains coming. And so we stand at this moment in time, and the apostle says, hey, for you are all, because we have this perspective. And so let's see this sober-minded person where he sees clearly. Number one, we see because we are children of God. For you are all sons of God, sons of the light, children of the day. You know, this particular passage is going to describe for us what it means to be children of the light and children of the day. But first of all, we must acknowledge that we are children of God. In John chapter 1, in verse 12, it says, "But to all of you who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." The apostle is not calling upon their salvation at this point. He has just stated that in chapter 4, where he called them brothers. He defined them as believers. But it is important for us as we go through this particular dialogue to understand that first and foremost, we are children of God. And why is that important? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, "The natural mind does not accept the things of God." And so we see clearly because we are a child of God. We see clearly because we have the Holy Spirit of God. We see clearly because we have the Word of God. This is not of ourselves. It is by the direction and preaching of the Word of God that we understand these things at all. And so we as believers, we start with this idea that we know some things. Amen? We know some things. Some of you know a lot of things. In fact, if I ask you to articulate your eschatology, which is the study of last things, eschatology, study of last things, you could say, well, I'm a pre-tribunal, pre-millennial believer in the return of Jesus Christ. And so if you don't know what that means, you can ask me that later, because it really doesn't matter, right? Because we, as the people of God, know that the next thing that is to occur on the scene is the return of Jesus Christ. That is our blessed hope, where he comes and takes us to be with him in the air. And we studied before that, where are those who are dead in Christ? They are immediately with Jesus in heaven, amen? So all of those who fall asleep are with him. We will certainly not precede them. But on that great day, when we are raptured up, caught up to be with him in the air, we will be joined with all those who have gone before us. And all of us will receive that gifted, immortal body, imperishable, that we might live for God forever. So we start with that perspective. There's a little history, a little background. We are children of God. It's part of your birthright. Number two, we see because we are children of the light. The text actually says, it's an idiom, literally, sons of the light, sons of the day. Children of light. What a description of us. And technically, in the Greek language, it says sons, not children. And so they've taken a little liberty here because we are all children. And so it wants to convey not just the men, but also the women, that we are together, children of the light, children of the day. This is a little technical, but I want to explain it to you. It's in the genitive. And what does that mean? It means that the noun is the possessor of the thing. And so if we see the phrase, the throne of the king, that's the preposition of, the throne of the king, we see that it is the king's throne. That's what it means. It belongs to the king. And so when we look at us, we are sons, we are lights of the sun, we are a product of the sun, we are, and when I say sun, I mean the light of day. This is who we are. We have a new identity. Many Christians don't understand their identity in Jesus Christ. We have a new identity. We are children of God, but we are also children of light. We are children of truth. Anytime when you see the term light in the New Testament, you need to understand that light is a picture of truth, that light shines on the darkness, that light speaks to us the word of God. It is God's light. We have the light of the world. Jesus Christ came and he was the light of the world. You know, it might help us to understand this idea of light in the opposite. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 10, it says this, and he said, "You son of the devil," how about that when someone's speaking to you? "You son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, you who stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord." Sons of the devil. Who was he speaking about? He was speaking about religious people, the Pharisees of the day. And this is what he called them, sons of the devil. And so you can understand, we are sons of light or we are sons of the devil. There is no in between. You are one or the other. You need to know within your heart and your mind today that I am a child of God. I am a son of the light. I will follow the light. I will walk in the light. Or understand that I'm a son of the devil and I'm here in this midst of this church to create the devil's business. Do you know that the devil's business often happens within the children of light? Comes in and stirs. It's always mainly from the inside that the attack comes. It's like that Trojan horse, ready and willing to destroy the things of God. In John 8 and verse 12, it says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them and saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so we understand this as believers. We are to walk after the light. In fact, if we do so, we will, in essence, come to the place where we don't sin. Number two, or three, I guess I should say, we see because we are children of the day. The text also goes on, we are not of the night or of the darkness. You know, the idea in this text here is don't do this. Don't be surprised. Don't be led astray because you have walked into darkness. The possibility here is within the text that we as believers, we should follow the light, we do follow the light, we are children of the light, and yet we too often walk in darkness. We walk away from the things of God. We walk away from the things that we know to be true. We deliberately high-handed in our hearts sin against a holy God and refuse to follow his light. And we get the consequences. Doesn't that not what the word of God say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, that whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is where we ought to be in Jesus Christ. But too often we walk in darkness. In John 12 and verse 46, it says this, "I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." You know, one of the exciting things about seeing new people come to Jesus Christ, those who have received the gospel, there's that transformation, that understanding. I was once in darkness and now I'm light. When we do a baptismal service, for those of you who haven't seen it, we put a hot tub right there that the water's nice and toasty. One year it was so hot we had to put ice in it. Otherwise we'd have stewed pastor. But what does baptism mean? What does it mean? I was once filthy with my sin, and now I am made clean. I was once dead in my sins, and now have been raised to live after the likeness of Jesus Christ. But I have to choose. Again, I have come into the world as light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. When we're new in Christ, we have all kinds of sin. We have all kinds of false belief systems. We have all false narratives. We engage in things that we should not know. And Jesus would say to us too often, you err because you do not know the scriptures. You do not know the light. Do you know that every relationship that's struggling in this congregation today could be made right if the individuals in it believed and received the word of God to them? Simple things. Are we not commanded to love one another? In fact, does not the word of God tell us that if we can't love our neighbor or our spouse, how can we say we love God at all? And so if we would just commit to ourselves to love, but again, what do we often say? But she did this or he did that. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we changed not, God changed for us. That we did not become holy, he became a man. We did not sacrifice, he sacrificed. A simple command to love. If you are having difficulty at home with your kids, maybe you should apply that knowledge as well, to love them. Because does it not, the book of Romans teach us that it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. You see, we err because maybe we know the scriptures, but we do not walk in the light. We instead walk in darkness. The text of the Bible is so clear. Your anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. Isn't that not what it says? And yet we're angry, we pout, we shout, we curse profanely. Cursing has become the new norm in politics today. If I can drop this or drop that, I seem to have some sort of wisdom. Just inane stupidity. Where is decorum? Where is the light? We need to shine the light into dark places. And we need to be challenged in our own heart, in our pride, and say, I am a sinner. That is the essence of salvation, is it not? I cannot earn my way to heaven, but I am forgiven by Jesus Christ, who died for my sins. When I ask him, forgive me, please. But for all of us who are in Christ, stop walking in darkness. In fact, does not the word of God teaches us that the double-minded man is unstable in all that he does? And does not the word of God say to us, let not that man say he will receive anything from God? In fact, we know from the book of Revelation that's absolutely clear, that God would just as soon spit out those of you who are lukewarm. How's that for a message on a happy Seahawks Sunday? Woo, I like that. Woo. Yeah, there we go. I mean, I know you're going to be doing it when the Seahawks are playing today, right? Let's give a hoo. Come on. There we are. Because, yeah, no, that's all wrong. Go Jesus, go pastor. There we go. Give me one of those good old Baptists. Hey, amen, preacher. We sometimes walk in darkness. Let us no longer live that way. In fact, if we are going to be the people who understand our times and understand the seasons and do not be driven by false narratives, we need to be a deep-thinking man who is obedient to the word of God, who seeks God, searches God, and says, God, what am I supposed to do? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have a radical hope here at Avenue Bible Church that the word of God radically transforms your heart, that you might be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But that will not happen unless you walk in the light you have been given. If you're struggling with anything, what has the word of God been speaking to you? Take heed. Take heed. Just listen to it. Try to put it into practice in some tangible way. There was a time in my Christian life, in my married life with my wife. She's sitting here in the front row. We've been married a long time. She puts up with me. I put a 10-point thing on the back of my closet in my bedroom saying, Mike, work on these things. Put into practice what you know. You see, that's our problem as believers, is it not? We know these things, and yet we don't do it. We don't walk in the light. Notice here the outcome. We have fellowship with one another. A church that is united, a church that it functions, a church that has relationships with each other, a church that could go down to Pizza Coop and have a good time, is because we as the people of God are going to be obedient to the word of God. Even at the Pizza Coop. Greet one another with a holy kiss, right? We're going to get to that here in the book of Thessalonians. And we'll kind of scratch the kiss part because that's not part of our culture. But we'll do the side hug, right? The handshake. Fellowship in a church is dependent upon its people walking in light. It's dependent. We will not have it if the people of God do not live it. Number two, the sober-minded person thinks calmly. In verse 6, it says this, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, they get drunk at night. What should we do? Number one, we should calmly keep watch. Look at the text. So then those who sleep. I want you to see the apostles playing on words a little bit. He has just told them the dead in Christ will rise first. And then he's saying, hey, believer, don't live like you are sleeping. Practically dead. Those who are physically dead, those who are practically dead. There are many believers who walk on the margin of Christianity, touching lightly upon the things of God, but never coming to a full understanding. The text says, so then, this is in, again, I hate to get technical on you, but it's on in the subjunctive. And what does that mean? That means that we are probably or intentionally doing these things. In fact, we could see these in the text every time you see the lettuce in the text. Lettuce, yeah, big old cabbage of lettuce, right? The text will say, let us, right? Let us do this. These are the things that God is commanding you to do. This is the things that you can do. These are the things that you are created to do. So then, let us not sleep. What does that mean, let us not sleep? Well, when you're asleep, you don't know what you're thinking. Your mind's all over the place. Some of you have sweet dreams, some of you don't, right? Some of you wrestle at night. Some of you are disturbed at night. Some are distressed at night. Some are anxious at night. But when we're sleeping, we really have no awareness of what we're doing. It's like walking in darkness. I can't see where I'm going, but I'm going there anyway. I'm sleeping, physically dead. This term also means to keep watch or to stay alert. We have just looked at the idea that the believers are not to be surprised. They're not to be surprised by the things to come. They're not surprised by the things in their life because Jesus said, this is the way it's going to be. You know, if you are among those who believe somehow that the Christian church is going to take over the world, you're going to be gravely disappointed because Jesus said wars and rumors of wars will happen until the very end of the age. We looked at this last week, that children will be disobedient, and this generation has seen a flood of adult children who walk away from the things of God. This generation has sought after the idea to be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God, and so the most spiritual word that they can come up with is to live your best life now. And I would say this, if this is your best life, I feel sorry for your afterlife. So we need to understand that we are to keep watch, to be awake. Like the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were ready and 5 were not. Like those who Jesus says are doing what they're supposed to be doing on the day that Jesus returns. Oh, to find us in that fashion, right? Doing what God asks you to do. Keep watch. Again, the possibility here of the verbs, if this is possible or intentional, it can also be the opposite. That we can walk when we are unintentional. We can walk in darkness. We can not measure up to the things that God would have us do. Too often, we are stuck in the mundane rather than that which is excellent. The word of God in Philippians 4, verse 8 says, now think on these things, whatever is excellent, noble, just, right, good, truthful. Think on these things. And too often we as the children of God are on the bare minimum. We do what we have to do. 2 Timothy 4, verse 4 talks about the apostasy to come. That's one of the things that marks the end times. Apostasy, false doctrine is what that means. Things that are untrue. Again, you can look at so much that it's out there on the radio waves or out there on blogs or whatever. It's just lies. We have a hard time following them. But again, if we understand that this is going to happen, we don't have to be surprised by it happens. We don't need to say, oh, where did the Church of Jesus Christ go? Oh, I'm so sad. It used to be so much better. You know, it's, oh, we used to have influence in our culture. And should we be surprised that what's happening is exactly what Jesus said? That the instruction to us, and again, to be sober-minded is to be one who keeps watch and is ready, is able, and understands the times and knows what they should do. We as the people of God should not be surprised. Number two, we calmly show restraint. The text says, be sober. Here's our key thought, our key word. Again, it's in the subjunctive or the intentional. This is what we should do. We should not sleep, keep watch. We should be sober and think correctly and show restraint. Again, what does it mean? It's the quality of having a clear, steady, and disciplined mind, one that is not ruled by impulses or emotions, distractions or distortions. It is calm, it is clear, it's deliberate. You see, too often we as Christians are just caught up in so many stupid things. I've been a pastor long enough to see these things roll through the church. Oh, this is the next phase. This is the next craze. This is the next 40 years of something or other. 40 days. Who knows what it is. We need this book and that book. You know, can't we just study the Word of God? Amen. Study the Word of God. It is the light to my feet. It is the lamp. And so we ought to be sober, not distracted, not destroyed. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, remember we looked back at the idea of we are to aspire to a quiet life, to work with our hands. This is the call of God on us as believers, to be sober in our culture, sober within our times, that we are equipped to work it with our hands and to do good so that we bring light into the kingdom of God. We bring those who see God at work because of what we do. Again, we know the word of God, that the world will know that you are his disciples if you love one another. Again, I want you to see the connection of fellowship in relation to the things of God. You have to be in community in order to be obedient to what God is stating. Live quietly. I love the phrase in there, mind your own affairs. Keep your own business. Do your own thing. Right? And if there's conflict just between the two of you, Matthew chapter 18, if you can't do that, bring in one or two other that a matter might be established. Number three, calmly walk away from darkness. The text says, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. You can go to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 9, and it talks about a young dim-witted individual who in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness, he went into the city. And the whole context is about the adulterous woman. We have an epidemic in our culture and society in regard to sexuality. And let me I just say, nothing good happens after 11 p.m. You know, and if you've got curfews, make it 10 p.m., right? I mean, if people would just go home and go to bed, we would be so much better than many of the things that we are doing. And I would aim that particularly at the younger generation. Maybe that was us in our younger generation. It's time to put those things aside. Walk away from darkness. To be drunk is contrasted with being sober-minded. To be drunk is to be under the influence, is how we communicate that. And so drunkenness is something that happens in the church of Jesus Christ. Drunk. We know that Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says so clearly, don't get drunk with wine. There is the word of God. It is the light of God. It is the truth of God. It is what will make you prosper at home. Do not get drunk. Drunkenness should not be named among us. Now, again, lest you think that I don't celebrate football and the good things of life. The Word of God says there's nothing better for a man to eat and drink and enjoy his lot in life. All right? The issue here is, what am I under the influence of? What am I being driven by? And if we are calmly looking at the things of the world, I'm going to calmly walk away from those things that are a temptation. And so we need to understand that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Does not the Spirit of God lead us? Can we not follow him? Again, that's what we ought to do. And so 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You're either walking towards darkness or away from it. You're either walking towards darkness or away from it. This should be the nature of our Christian experience, that we are ever brighter in the kingdom of God because we have obediently and humbly obeyed the word of God to us. And so lastly today, the sober-minded person acts deliberately. Let's look at him in verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice the let us in the text. Look for the let us. These are things that God wants us to do. Let us do these things. And so number one, what should we do? We need to be deliberately shielded by faith. it gives us an image of the armor that we are to put on, and it covers the breastplate and the stomach. It's where your heart and your guts are. And let me tell you this, if you are not prepared for this, you will have your guts ripped out. If people were honest and they talked about their Christian experience, so many could talk about that which was extremely painful and for many caused them to walk away from faith or at least walk out of the churches of Jesus Christ. It's painful. Do we go out there unprotected? No, and absolutely no. It's stupid to go out unprotected. In fact, there are many Christians who are unprotected. They have no idea what I'm going to say today, and they get into one trouble after another trouble because they have not put on that breastplate. They are not protected. So what do we mean when we say to deliberately shielded by faith? Remember in Ephesians 6, verse 16, we talked about the shield of faith with which you extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. You know, the shield was just as important as the sword. Sometimes we are armed with the sword, but we do not have our defense ready. And so when we get attacked, we are often destroyed. Again, what does that believe? It says, having put on the breastplate, an image and an image of war, first of all, understand that this is war, is it not? This is war. This is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil, the you that are son of the light or son of hell itself. It's war. And so we must put that in our brain. We are not sending you out into the world passively. We are sending you out into the world aggressively, fully wearing the armor of God. Study that in Ephesians 6 to have a more complete idea here. But he's pulling out of faith. What is it that we believe? There's so much confusion. If you look at many, many churches' websites, you find these eight little things that are almost meaningless. We do just the opposite here at Avondale Bible Church, and we would encourage all of our brothers in Christ and all other places to do the same. Say what you believe. Put it in writing. Say, this is our perspective. This is our orientation. This is what we believe. You know what happens when you do that? You get a church that's unified around a constant and consistent doctrine. Because what we believe matters. What we believe matters. You remember back in chapter 1 and verse 3, that we have a faith that works and a love that labors and a hope that endures. What does faith teach us? Well, it teaches us all the things of God that God wants you to believe, that he wants you to hold fast, that he wants you to walk in the light in. What you believe matters. The apostle demonstrated that you will receive rejection from this world. Remember, he got beat up and thrown out of town. He went through the experience of having the world reject him, having the Jews reject him. In fact, he would even say, of all these things, I count them but loss. But what did he believe? He did not believe in peace or prosperity. He rejected all forms of that. In fact, he would communicate that Jesus Christ, what Jesus said, the Son of Man has not even a place to lay down his head. So you need to understand, if I'm pursuing wealth and happiness, I'm pursuing the wrong things. I need to be a person who understands what God has called me to. Faith works. Faith does something. Faith engages in the kingdom of God. When we look at our metrics in regard to Avondale Bible Church, and we thank Daniel for that and the way that he is good with those numbers, we are way above the norm in regard to engaging in the kingdom of God in service for what he's doing. Why are we like that? Because you believe this is the calling of God on your life. Why do you believe that? Because you know the word of God. Why do you know that? It's talked about all over it through the New Testament. What do I believe? Do I believe that God is working out things for his good and his glory? Not mine. Can I just say that again? Not mine. Can I accept that? Can I accept that for some people he has peace and prosperity, wealth and great riches? For others, hardly a noodle in a can. Some of you have great health. Some of us don't. What do I believe? Do I believe that God can heal all my diseases? I sure believe that. Did Jesus himself pray to God, say, may this cup pass from me? Yes, he did. But he was willing to take a no. Why? Because he understood God is working out his things for his good and his glory until all these things are revealed. It's so important that you acknowledge these things. Because if you believe that God is going to heal me of all my diseases, you're going to find yourself in the hospital, and you will find that there are those who are in Christ who go through intense pain, intense suffering, intense difficulty, and are translated into the kingdom of God with great faith. In fact, the Word of God does say this: anyone who would live a righteous life will be persecuted. Do you believe that? Is that not within the Word of God? Isn't this what it communicates? Does not the Word of God in you dwell in you richly so that you can see where to go and do what God asks you to do? To, again, reject it is to act like you are a son of the devil itself. He's working out his eternal plan. Can I believe that all things work together for good to them that love God and called according to his purpose? Yes. But that might mean healing and prosperity. That also might mean endurance, character, and hope. We deliberately need to think on these things. Philippians 4:8 again, think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is excellently. If there's anything that you've seen in me, put it into practice. Think on these things. Believers, when we talk about sober-mindedness, we're talking about clarity of mind and calmness of perspective. We can see it. We know what to do. We don't have to race out there. We methodically do the things that God asked me to do, one thing at a time. This one thing I do, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. May I just say this? Those not engaged in the battle hardly need the breastplate. I'm going to read that again out of my notes. Those not engaged in the battle hardly need the breastplate. Number two, deliberately shielded by love. The text says, and love. Again, in the subjunctive, in the idea that we should be intentional about this. You know, sometimes we don't meditate enough on the things of God and the things of Jesus. You know, when you look at Jesus, he had his multitudes. He had his 70 witnesses. He had his 12 disciples. He had his three inner core. And then he had John. This is our Lord. This is the way that he functioned. This is the way that he walked. And so I would say, let's be like Jesus. Do we have our multitudes? Do we have our 70? Do we have our 12? I'd like to think of the 12 as not the 12th man, but the 12 ministries we have here at Avondale Bible Church. Do you have your three? Do you have your life group? And do you have your one? You know, this does not happen in your Christian life unless you are intentional about it. I have a little book called The Friendship Factor, and it says pretty clearly, I think it's chapter one, the average man has no close friends. It's just it. And we know it as men. We're busy. The time that we do have, we want to spend with our wives. We love our kids, and so we go to all their sporting events. But I think as we think about the greater things of God, that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so we look at this idea of love. Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. And so I would say to you, you have your one if you can go to that individual and say, I'm a hurting. I'm frustrated. I'm wounded. Who do you talk to? Who do you talk to? Some of you have nobody. I feel bad for you, but I must implore you to be obedient to the Word of God and begin with your 12. Look to your 3 and develop that one. That's what Jesus did. What did Jesus do with John? He said, John, your mother. He passed on his mom. He passed on his mom to John. Who is that close in your life? Again, we are satisfied with the congregation. We're satisfied with walking in a general world of Christianity. But again, if we're talking about fellowshipping with God and walking in the light, that we need to understand it's going to work out in relationships and to be intentional. You can go to Pizza Coop. I know some of you, that'll be like peeling your skin off, right? Some of you outgoing people, you'll all be there. I know you will. Woo-hoo! You know. But a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for our adversity. In 3 John verse 15, John is ending, and he says, peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. We have become satisfied with church, and we're a congregation that doesn't know each other. And I would say, engage in the kingdom of God. Can we know and call each other by name? If someone doesn't know your name, is it possible that you don't take advantage of life groups or you don't take advantage of being in a ministry group where you actually get to know people and serve alongside them? And so it's not just us and them, it's us, we all together. Greet each other by name. Now, I have an excuse greater than most of you, but are we trying? Hey, Mark, it's good to see you today. Your faithfulness over 20 years is much appreciated. Lastly, deliberately shielded by hope. The text says, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. This is not about here and now. This is about then and there. Then and there, when we get there, when we all get to heaven, amen? That is our blessed hope. That is what we are called to. If we are so earthly minded, we will not be spiritually good. We will not be prepared for the kingdom of God. Put on the hope of salvation. Now, I'll tell you a little story. I know I've told you this before, but I don't care. My family used to do bike trips for vacation. We'd go 1,000 miles, 100 miles a day. It was just a lot of fun. I can't imagine doing it now. But that's what we did as kids. It was cheap, by the way. We went camping and had a lot of fun. On one particular day, we were coming down a mountain pass. And this is before, you know, helmets were required. And so, you know, wearing a helmet was just not the thing you did. And so my dad, we're all parked at the bottom of this mountain. And my dad comes flying down the hill. And my dad was pulling this great big trailer. And he's flying, and, you know, we had these speedometers, and so we could tell we were doing 55 miles an hour on a bike. My dad, we're all sitting at this 90-degree corner, and he sees us, and we see him, and he just goes right off the road, plows into the ditch, flips over out into the woods. And all of us, my brother and sister and my mom, were standing there shocked. We're thinking, Dad's dead. And we just stand there, Dad's dead. We take no action. We take no movement. We were just in shock, right? Because we had seen the front wheel go down and my dad get thrust over the top. He stands up and he says, I'm okay. And then, as good families do, we just busted out in laughter. As a tension reliever. If my dad would have had a helmet, we might not have been so scared. Parents, talk to your kids about their salvation. Are they sure of what they know? Are they sure of what they know? Continue to coach them, exercise authority over them, teach them, train them that they might walk into the light of God. For you as a Christian, when days are dark, understand it's not about here and now, it is about there and then. And if we will follow that, we will have great hope. We have great clarity, great calmness. But deliberately thinking on these things. What is it that I believe in? I have put my hope and trust in it. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, therefore preparing your minds for actions and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We won't see it until we do. We wait. We long for it. But at this moment in time, we prepare our minds for action. Deliberately pursue these things. Be a person who sees clearly. You are a son of light. Be a person that demonstrates the wisdom of God in the counsel that you give. When you talk, do you communicate with God's word? Does it permeate who you are? Blessed is the man who meditates on it day and night. And whatever he does prospers because he's following God's word. Think calmly and show restraint. I think, isn't that one of the hard things? Don't freak out. Because we often get very close to that. Don't freak out. Wait another day. Hold off. Let's have this conversation tomorrow. Let's gain some perspective. Mark Miller, Sheik Daddy over there. He's been here so long, I can't remember his name either. I once quit, and Mark says to me, you can't quit. I want you to take a few days off. I said, what for? He says, to gain some perspective. That was like 20 years ago. Some of us need to gain some perspective. Rise to the challenge that God is obviously bringing you to. Show restraint, and from that, act deliberately in faith, in hope, in love. A faith that works, a love that labors, and a hope that endures. Amen. Go Hawks. God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, that it speaks to us with such clarity and direction. May we absorb it, think on it, meditate on it, become it in the way that we live in our world. God, we look for and long for the there and the then when we see your face, when we are raptured up to be with you. God, give us that full assurance, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.